our cash commission on policy and since that time, various other forums, both individuals and collectives. The problem of construction costs, you've been reading lots of stories about this, we're all concerned about it. Today, you remember, we've been hanging about this for several months. I'd like to turn the meeting over to John Earl.
Where's John?
John's at the... John Earl, who will, as arranged, have a presentation for all of us. This will be old hat, I'm afraid, several of you who've been here, and it's going to be John, George Romney, and others, because you're very familiar with the subject. And as well, all have the knowledge of... Fred's not here, so I think you probably know that.
I think we get to that.
He's got it already. He gives it to us every time we meet. The important thing is that all the cash understand.
Yeah.
public now, was support waste and private control. But I think it should be such a substantive way. The most difficult aspects of the problem of inflation that we have is the problem of trying to work down the rates of increase in compensation per man hour so that we can achieve a greater degree of stability in labor costs per unit of output. Now, here is the record, in this case going back to 1961. The record of the increases in compensation per man hour for the private non-farm economy. Once again, here, irregularly, this started to move up reached, it's been running in the last 3 years here, at about 7%. And the labor cost per unit of output had a double squeeze, both by the rise in the rate of increase of compensation per man hour. The rate of increase in productivity was declining, and thus we got quite a sharp acceleration in labor cost per unit of output, which has been creating since severe pressure underneath the price level to, in the way of unit cost, forcing the price level up. Incidentally, that squeeze has a particularly severe effect on the price level. Because unlike in some other periods where a disinflationary policy has been imposed, profit margins were already very low. In other words, there wasn't the cushion there which could accept the restraint for a period until wage adjustments could be brought into line. Well, this is these very popular labor data on the median negotiated wage settlement. These are the figures for increases averaged over the life of the contract, excluding, by the way, whatever the impact of cost of living escalators may be. So, of course, the 5.6% here will turn out to be too low to the extent that the consumer price index. Now the interesting, and of course, here are the first year increases called for by major collective bargaining agreements negotiated, which are significantly higher. There are two, the critical thing here to notice is the two things. First of all, that we're not seeing any consequential deceleration here. Second, if you go back to the earlier years, you'll see that the gap between construction and manufacturing here seems to have been widening. For example, in 66 and 67, the increase in construction settlements was something like 30% or so higher than in manufacturing. By the time you got down here, the negotiated increases in construction are well over double what we have had in manufacturing, and the same thing in the first year.
something. And this is consistent now in a series of things. President, in his address last June, called for the publication of periodic inflation alerts. His major function would be to try to lift the level of visibility of wage and price adjustments, and thereby help to focus public opinion on them. We have the National Commission on Productivity set up to try to do something in this area of productivity. The Purchasing Regulations Review Board, which is headed by Kat Weinberger, has been at work. As a matter of fact, there are one or two actions they have taken already, which have had a significant effect. Crude oil price investigation was launched by General Lincoln and instant to a private increase, and according to the terms of the executive order, which called for that, decision, I think, will be announced, General Lincoln will announce the term. We had, I suppose, the most nearly specific confrontation in the price area in regard to the large proposed price increase for certain steel products, but that's and the suspension of data station more recently. But these are all in the direction one way or another, trying to nudge the market adjustment processes along a bit. The obvious advantages of this kind of an approach are that it is most consistent with the essentially free market approach, which would philosophically characterize the administration. It undoubtedly has had some effect. The Purchasing and Regulations Review Board intervention incident to the key for the haulage of overall, I believe it was, rather promptly resulted, I think, in a discernible effect there, certainly in the case of the increase and so forth. Now, this approach has had obvious disadvantages. I won't try to go through all of these, but two are particularly important. I think it would be generally regarded as not constituting a strong and comprehensive program against inflation. And of course, we have little evidence to date that this action, this approach is getting through to the wage aspect of the problem. Now, to move to the second category, which in a sense is would result in a more nearly a change of intensity in our efforts rather than any significant dogleg in the direction of policy. I'm merely put here not a program, but just some illustrations of the kinds of things that might be done if you were to step up the intensity of this effort. One would be to move toward the deregulation of transportation to deal with an area which has been somewhat inflationary, particularly inflationary in the construction area, such things as legislation to regard the hiring of all product boycotts, to initiate regional bargaining and that sort of thing. There can be a great many others. A great many other items here, and these are illustrative, or it might involve liberalization of import quotas on steel, beef, oil, first advantage, I suppose, is that they're in a position to be wisely able and is doing something very vigorous about inflation. That is, it is true that public opinion is overwhelmingly in favor of wage and price control. I suspect the announcement that we were going into that or something like it would be able to doing something. Apparently, if we went into something like this, one could assume that in the near term, the price indexes for a period would look better. In the wartime, there was some evidence that controls tended to stabilize the price indexes better than prices, but in any case, the price indexes have done because of problems of downgrading quality and that sort of thing that are hard to catch. If possible, and if they were handled correctly, it might be possible to handle it tactically so that the Congress would be at least involved more in the action. Now, the disadvantages here are also, I think, fairly clear. The Wage Price Board administering largely moral suasion here. There's a little international experience with this. I think it would have to be said that at least on the wage side, there's not much evidence that they've really been very effective. The latest experience is the Canadian experience. After a year, with an explicit guideline of 6%, with an unemployment level, a rate that has been a little higher than ours, much of last year, close to a percentage point higher. The wage performance in Canada was actually worse than that. There are other problems here, although they vary depending on which one we're talking about. Any kind of test of strength, that is if, for example, if the Wage Price Board got involved in some specific situation and seemed to be losing, there is, of course, to be real pressure then on the administration. All right, well, now what are you going to do? Are you going to invoke comprehensive controls and handle it? There's always that danger of some kind of confrontation where you either have to back down or go ahead further than you want. Secondly, we have to remember that Canada